Cutting Audio. Deathlands.
Here it comes!
Outlanders.
Warning, meltdown imminent.
The Executioner.
Tag, you're it.
Stony Man.
Brace for impact!
Now playing at the theater in your mind.
As muted thunder rolled across the grassy field, a group of people burst from the bushes, running for their lives. Many carried bundles of possessions, but most had already thrown away their packs in exchange for greater speed. Death was coming fast, and every second counted. Their convoy had been ambushed at a waterhole, and most of the Mercies, hired to guard them from Cold Hearts, were aced already. Now there was nothing else to do but run.
The devils are here!
An old man pulled a rusty blaster from within his ragged shirt and thumbed back the hammer.
Head for the trees!
Some of the fleeing people did as ordered. Others ran mindlessly across the open ground. A few fell weeping to the ground in surrender. Besides the white hair, only two other people pulled weapons and turned to face the onrushing enemy. The leader of the convoy held a homemade scatter gun, and a woman fingered a crude crossbow built from car parts. As the convoy leader cocked back both of the hammers on the shotgun, the woman pulled a razor-tipped arrow from the quiver on her back and knocked it on the bow. Nervously, the leader licked his dry lips in hesitation.
Aim for the front. With luck, the rest will be close behind and they'll crash into the one we ace.
We ain't gonna ace nobody! Nothing can stop the devils!
Constantly wiping his sweaty hands on his trousers, the man with the shotgun said nothing in response. Just tried to control his breathing. Sheet lightning crashed among the purple and orange clouds, while black velocity streamers sliced through the sky like the slashes of a knife. From out of nowhere, an arc of fire streaked across the polluted atmosphere as yet another pre-dark satellite descended too low and was caught by gravity to be disintegrated in a fiery re-entry. On the ground, a wave of black and silver motorcycles bounded into view from over a groundswell, the riders carrying nets and clubs to take their prey alive. Each rider had a human skull painted red, attached to the yoke of the handlebars. Some of the skulls had a tuft of hair still in place, but most were missing teeth or entire jaws, the grisly remains of their victims saved as trophies to adorn their machines. They were the Blue Devils, Cold Hearts of the Panhandle.
Ace them!
A spray of sparks leapt from the handlebars of the lead Harley as a slug ricocheted off the chromed steel. The bikers paid no attention to the incoming lead and spread out after the sprinting people. Tracking her target, the woman with the bow released the arrow, which hit a bald biker in the leg. The man cursed as his machine swerved, but then the rest of the gang were among the defenders, their heavy nets filling the air. A spread of net caught another woman, dragging her to the ground, and as she tried to rise, another rider slammed her with his club, knocking her unconscious. Rising from the thick grass, one of the men from the convoy tried to shove a wooden spear into the spokes of a passing Harley, but missed completely. However, the attack was noticed, and the lead Cold Heart sharply changed direction and revved the bike's big engine. The front of the vehicle rose off the ground just to slam back down on the attacker. More nets flew through the air, and people fell tangled in the ropes, tiny hooks woven into the mesh catching skin and clothing alike. The leader of the convoy fired his blaster at a nearby biker, but there was only a spray of sparks from a misfire. Jouncing over the irregular field, a fat biker covered with tattoos swung the barrel of a scattergun toward the leader's skull. But the man ducked just in time and pulled the trigger again, this time a roar sounding from the blaster. Blood sprayed from the biker's arm, and he swung the scattergun about to pull both triggers. The double explosion caught the leader full in the face, blowing off his head in a frothy eruption of bone, brains, and blood. The woman let fly an arrow from her crossbow again, hitting nothing, and then was hit from behind by a net. She dropped squirming to the ground, then pulled a knife and buried it into her own chest. Dropping his empty blaster, The older man raised his hands in surrender. A devil biker slammed into him from behind, spinning the white hair, who crashed to the ground in a tangle of limbs. Another blaster discharged, and a biker smashed a young man across the back with a thrown club, sending him sprawling to the ground. With the blasters empty, the battle was over in minutes, and the captives were freed from the nets. Hands tied behind their backs, the prisoners were kicked and shoved into a line before their grinning captors. From this distance, the old man observed that the biker gang was dressed in rags, draped over their thick leather jackets to hide their wealth, but were armed to the teeth with more blasters than any two vills worth of Sekhmen. The machines they rode were old and patched, draped with saddlebags bulging with supplies and a few precious cans of slick grain alcohol cut with traces of gasoline to fuel the big Harley engines. Every member of the pack was armed with some kind of a blaster, mostly scatter guns, yet only three of the bikes had an intact headlight, and only one had a windshield. The machines were battered but still powerful, able to go places that no heavily armored war wag could ever reach. The lead biker leaned over the handlebars of his purring machine.
What's the total, Crury?
The man was a craggy giant with closely cropped blonde hair. His nose was flat and wide, but whether that was a natural mutation or a very old injury was impossible to discern. The handle of a knife jutted from each boot, a big bore hand cannon rode on his right hip, and a long blaster wrapped in dirty rags was strapped across his back. The stock was deeply carved, and feathers dangled from below the muzzle of the weapon. The old man knew what that was for, to test the direction of the wind when he was placing a long shot. Crury ran one hand across his bald head as he massaged his wounded leg with the other.
10 people, 4 corpses. A pretty fair haul, Cranston.
Not bad.
Cranston grinned, killing the engine on the bike and using the edge of his boot to force down the stand. Stepping off the Harley, he walked over to the line of prisoners. Ignoring the men, he checked the women, separating the very old and the one pregnant girl from the rest.
You boys can screw these bitches if you wanna, but no broken bones. We want them fresh for the market. Start a fire going. Jerk the corpses to smoke the meat.
The old man finally spoke up.
Cannies! You're not slavers! You're nuking cannies!
In a blur of speed, Cranston slapped the man across the face, driving him to the ground. The prisoner looked up with open hatred in his face, blood trickling from a split lip.
Don't backtalk me, Wrinkly. We don't eat people, but we know folks who do. And they pay us in plenty of slick for our wheels in exchange for the long pig meat. So it's the mines or the stupa, take your choice.
Slowly, the prisoner stood in a surprising display of strength for a man with so much gray hair. He hawked to spit the blood from his mouth.
How about a third choice? I bet that I can chill any one of you canny cold hearts with my bare hands.
Black dust with his wrinkly's got balls.
Cranston smiled, but then his eyes went as hard as broken glass.
Well, we got enough time to spare for some entertainment. Okay, slave. If you win, you take the place of the stud you chill. Can never have enough men with real guts.
The old man stood even straighter.
And if I lose?
The rest of the prisoners stayed motionless and silent. Their fate was sealed. This madness had nothing to do with them. Hooking both thumbs into his leather gun belt, Crury sneered.
Then we deliver you to the cannies alive. They got a ceremony called the Blood Dance. Starts with taking off your skin and feeding it back to you. Something about sweetening their food.
Another biker rubbed his crotch.
Then they get creative, and guess what you eat next?
The old man swallowed with difficulty, but said nothing. Cranston rested a hand on his blaster.
Still game, old man?
The name's Denver Joe. Denver Joe Sinclair. Although I'm really from Indy.
For some reason, this seemed to be important to the old man, a source of pride. However, this didn't seem to impress the biker nearest to him, a man with long, dirty red hair tied off in a ponytail that reached his waist.
Be smart, old-timer. Choose the mines and live. Anything's better than being a toy for the candies.
One of the women prisoners burst into tears at that, and the others merely trembled. A man on the end of the line looked as if he were about to be sick.
Yeah, I should work in the mines. But then a gutless feeb like you would suck scabbies in a gaudy house to stay alive. I'll go down fighting, you muty lover.
Vastly amused by the unexpected display of rebellion, the bikers laughed even louder this time. With a snarl, the red-headed rider started forward, drawing a hatchet from his belt. But Cranston stopped the man with a stiff arm across the chest. The two stood there for a moment, like a breedmaster holding back his prized bloodhound.